This is Clive Waters, news editor, 3UZ. The tragic events of the past 24 hours have shocked the world. With a special edition of Newsbeat, here is feature editor, John Ford.
Yesterday morning at 4:25 a.m. Eastern Australian time, this tragic news was flashed to all corners of the world.
President Kennedy is dead, shot by an assassin.
It is ironic to recall that only last weekend, when President Kennedy flew into Manhattan, it was evident his security was considerably relaxed. When the presidential car stopped at the traffic lights in one of the towns, the absence of a motorcycle escort made it possible for a woman to come right alongside the president's car and fire a camera flashbulb. A New York police official said she could well have been an assassin. The official explanation was that the president wanted no fuss nor feathers. Within a short time of yesterday's shooting, Dallas police apprehended a suspect.
Police in Dallas, Texas, announced they had charged a man with the assassination of President Kennedy. They say 24-year-old Lee Oswald is the man who killed the president by firing 3 shots from a rifle while hidden on the 5th floor of a warehouse as the presidential car moved past. Oswald is described as a pro-Castro Marxist who lived in the Soviet Union for a time. He is said to have once tried to renounce his American citizenship and swear allegiance to the Soviet Union. The announcement of the charge came as a shocked world joined America in reacting to the death of John F. Kennedy.
35 minutes after the fatal shots that shocked the world rang out, President Kennedy was pronounced dead. 2 hours later, Lyndon Ben Johnson, 55 years old, wealthy Texas rancher, and the vice president, was sworn in. Mrs. Kennedy and Mrs. Johnson watched as a weeping woman judge administered the oath to him in the presidential plane at a Dallas airfield. The plane then took off immediately for Washington with Mrs. Kennedy, Mr. Johnson, his wife, and some White House aides aboard. Mr. Kennedy's body was also on the plane. On arrival at Washington,
the pallbearers are apparently very prominent members of state, as all official Washington is here, of course, and the road is lined.
I understand that unofficially they're taking the body of President Kennedy to the Naval Hospital at Bethesda. That's the word that we've received here.
Mrs. John Kennedy, dressed in a pink dress, looking very harried, a brown fur collar apparently, is following the hearse.
Lyndon Baines Johnson made his first public statement from Washington as the newly elected President of the United States.
This is a sad time for our people. We have suffered a loss that cannot be waived. For me, it is a deep personal tragedy. I know that the world shares the sorrow that Mrs. Kennedy and her family bear. I will do my best. That is all I can do.
That same afternoon in the United Nations General Assembly, President Rodriguez made this announcement.
I have to perform the sad duty of announcing to the General Assembly the tragic death of President Kennedy, assassinated this afternoon in Dallas, Texas. I know I shall be interpreting the general feelings of the Assembly when I convey to Ambassador Stevenson our deepest sympathy, and I ask him to transmit our condolences to Mrs. Kennedy, to Vice President Lyndon Johnson, and to the other members of the family of the late President. I call now on the Secretary General.
Mr. President, as Secretary General of the United Nations, I would like to express profound sorrow at this most tragic event and to be associated in the condolences to Mrs. Kennedy, to the members of the bereaved family, and to the government and people of the United States.
Then United States Ambassador Adlai Stevenson addressed the assembly.
The tragedy of this day is beyond instant comprehension. All of us who knew him will bear the grief of his death to the day of ours. And all men everywhere who love peace and justice and freedom will bow their heads. At such a moment, we can only turn to prayer. Prayer to comfort our grief, to sustain Mrs. Kennedy and his family, to strengthen President Johnson, and to guide us in time to come. May God help us.
Radio stations throughout Australia flashed the news within 5 minutes of the president's death. And in a special interview, Prime Minister Menzies paid his tribute.
All Australians will agree with me in expressing horror and revulsion at this terrible event, the assassination of President Kennedy. It's a shocking tragedy, a terrible personal tragedy for Mrs. Kennedy, a national tragedy for the United States of America, one of the crucial events of the last 3 years. The President was extremely friendly to Australia, made that clear in every conversation that I had with him. He was at all times anxious to be helpful to us. I fear that this horrible event and the loss of a man with such rare capacity for leadership will, for a time at least, increase the dangers of world tension.
On the eve of President Kennedy's assassination, the new American Consul General to Melbourne, Mr. Lincoln White, arrived at Essendon at 8:15 p.m. It was Mr. White's sad duty as his first official function to make a statement to 3UZ on President Kennedy's tragic death.
He was one of our youngest and most able presidents. His entire program was designed to better the lot of Americans generally and also to be of what assistance he and the American people could be to those of less fortunate circumstances than our own. I hope and trust that President Lyndon Johnson will receive the support that he needs to carry on the heavy burdens which have been carried by President Kennedy.
Church and political leaders throughout Australia yesterday paid tributes to President Kennedy, but the news also had a marked effect on the average man and woman. Yesterday, these were some of the many comments received by a 3UZ reporter outside the studio in Bourke Street.
It was quite a shock, wasn't it? Very, very much, very bad.
Well, I must say that it was, I was so shocked about it that I couldn't believe it was true. I just noticed the Sun headline, JFK shot dead. Well, I just read an earlier edition of the Sun this morning, nothing about it, of course, and I just thought, well, now is this correct? Is this the president or is this some other JFK or is it a joke or just what? And then I got down to the next corner and the papers were on sale and the news was there. It was something, I don't think I've ever been more stunned in my life.
Oh, I just didn't believe it at first. It was incredible.
I thought it was very tragic. Very tragic indeed.
I could hardly believe it. I was so shocked. It was quite a shock to me. I just don't believe it now even.
Next week was to have been a big week for the Kennedy family. Preparations were well underway to celebrate the birthday of Caroline, who will be 6 on Wednesday, and John's 3rd birthday on the following Monday. Mrs. Jacqueline Kennedy now has the sad task of telling the children of the loss of their father, who, in spite of his high office, spent so much time with them. Here now is the voice of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, a man who loved his family as he loved his fellow man and his country.
In 1780 in Hartford, Connecticut, the skies at noon turned one day from blue to gray. And by mid-afternoon, the city had darkened over so densely that in that religious age, men fell on their knees and begged a final blessing before the end came. the Connecticut House of Representatives was in session, and many of the members clamored for an immediate adjournment. And the Speaker of the House, one Colonel Davenport, came to his feet, and he silenced the din with these words, "The day of judgment is either approaching or it is not. If it is not, there is no cause for adjournment. If it is, I choose to be found doing my duty."